Today's reading comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always preserve in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak.
Would you join me in prayer? Praying for the church as Paul invites us to, and praying for me as we open the scripture together. Let us pray. God, we ask that you strengthen us now so that our hearts and our minds might be open to you. Make us mindful of your presence here as your Spirit is among us. And bless the reading of your word and its interpretation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I keep coming back to the same image. It's of a young African-American woman standing calmly, elegantly, really. She's standing in front of a line of advancing police officers. Her name is Aisha Evans, and in this picture that I'm speaking of, taken at a protest against police brutality, she stands straight and firm with one hand close to her stomach and the other slightly forward. She's wearing a sundress and flats, and her calm demeanor is a powerful sight to see. But she's not the first thing in this photo that draws my attention. Perhaps it's because they are moving while she is standing still. But my focus at first is on the officers. In their full combat gear, the police look like something out of a science fiction movie. They have helmets with shields that come down over their faces. They have guns strapped to their waist and armor covering their torso and their arms and their legs. Even their heavy boots, which one would think might protect their feet, even they have additional coverings to protect. They stand in stark contrast to the young woman. I can't help but think of this image when I read Paul's instructions to the people of Ephesus to put on the full armor of God. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, he says, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with readiness. Take up the shield of faith, take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, Paul might as well be describing the outfit that the police officers are wearing. His injunction to put on the instruments of warfare creates a form of cognitive dissonance in me. I find it difficult to reconcile the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of God's truth and righteousness, peace and love, with images of weaponry. And yet, here's Paul, using images of war and military might to teach about living a faithful Christian life. Armor and weaponry are especially not helpful as images for me, maybe for others, given the current cultural and political climate on gun violence. This summer, I happened to pick up a copy of a book written by siblings Dave and Lauren Hoag, both of whom lived through the shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. They describe themselves and their peers as the generation that has been raised with active shooter drills that came from the terrible day when unimaginably powerful weapons merged mass shootings with school shootings. Because of the reality of their experience, Dave and Lauren and others from their school have dedicated themselves to working for common sense gun measures. In this specific moment in our country's history, with this debate on the minds and hearts of so many, I had to ask myself, how are we supposed to make sense of this passage where Paul references instruments that threaten lives to define life in Christ? How do we make sense of it? As always, context matters deeply when reading the Bible. Always, context matters deeply. Roman soldiers were a pervasive presence in the day-to-day life of the Ephesians. People would have been very familiar with the ruthless military might. Not only would Roman troops have taken control of people's land, people's resources, but the Ephesians would have seen the military grow in number and power as they conquered territory after territory around them. This was their common life. So it seems that Paul hopes to repurpose a familiar image of weaponry, a familiar image of the military, by reimagining the tools of the warrior as representing spiritual values. Values that are critical when facing those who live in opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The belt, for Paul, no longer holds up the soldier's garments, but rather reinforces the believer to speak truth to those who speak falsely. The breastplate no longer guards against arrows, but rather protects one's heart against corruption. The feet don't need extra coverings to protect them from harm because now they have been fitted for a greater purpose, the purpose of peacemaking. And Christian faith, like a shield, covers us on all sides. The image of the soldier provided Paul what he needed to communicate the importance of taking up our instruments, the tools of our work, the instruments of resistance, and standing firm in the face of evil. I know it's true that those who embrace a Christian faith are often at odds with many in our world. We can't deny as well that spiritual forces exist. Evil forces like a hatred and fear and cruelty are just everywhere. They're so evident. Those who seek truth and endeavor to live Christ-like lives inevitably find themselves coming up against people and powers that resist or outright fight against them. We even face forces of darkness within our own selves when doubt and anger and resentment dictate our actions. Paul gets very colorful in the way he describes such powers. Here's one translation of his description. "We're not waging war against enemies of flesh and blood alone," he says. "No, this fight is against tyrants, authorities, supernatural powers, and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly places." Very dramatic, right? Very colorful. This is not a swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks kind of statement. This is a call to arms. The example of the soldier worked for Paul's purposes in his community and in that historical moment in time. But we need a new image, a new image to communicate the very same truth, the very same purpose of Paul's writing. We need an image that does not lead people to acts of violence, an image that embodies resistance to evil, as the soldier might have, but does not encourage the use of things that are meant to inflict bodily harm. An image that inspires us to stand calmly, elegantly, and firmly in the face of all that hinders the work of love. I can think of a number of people I know, perhaps you can as well, who struggle against forces of evil in this world on a daily basis. They, like all the rest of us, have tools that they use to defy powers that harm by loving people with the very love of Jesus. I offer them as current images of Christian resistance, if you will. My dear friend Nancy uses her nursing skills to help children in New Jersey and in Haiti. She employs her nurse's scrubs of truth, her stethoscope of righteousness, and her comfortable Dansko clogs of peace. That's apparently what nurses wear these days. Or Rose, a former youth group member of mine, who uses her passion for activism to save the lives of those addicted by opioids in Philadelphia. She has a black leather jacket of justice, blue dyed hair of salvation that identifies her as someone who can be trusted, and a shield of peaceful protest. Any one of our Sunday school teachers, in fact, are examples of those who fight for the gospel using their skills, their tools, to pass on the Christian faith to our children. They use classroom lessons on right living as their belt of truth, crafts that inspire a faithfulness that guards the hearts and minds of our kids, and a strong conviction that the Spirit is active in and through their work of teaching. Now, it might sound like we're supposed to each figure out our skills and our tools and just go do that work. But it turns out Paul did not have that in mind. Paul did not mean for any of us to go it alone. Scholarship on the passage we just read points out that the verbs and the pronouns, they're all you plural, as in y'all, as my dad would say, not just you individually. We take up our tools together so that we can firmly withstand as a body. Aisha Evans was not alone at that protest in Baton Rouge. In the now iconic photo, all you see is Evans and the officers, but she was not there alone. She stepped out of a crowd of people who had come together to make themselves heard. She stepped out with the legacies of Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks and so many others to empower her. She stepped out for the future of her own 5-year-old son. Like she, we must also step out and face the powers, both within and without, that corrupt. We're called to step out with love and with life and with hope. These are our tools of resistance. So, let's step out together with the Spirit to guide us and see how we can change the world. Amen.